Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 12th of October, 2024, and the title of today's show is Kamala Campaign Nosedives, Trump Landslide, and Truth Bombs. So before I start on the news, of which there's a lot as usual, I just want to say how relieved and happy I am that Hurricane Milton did not turn out to be as devastating as was predicted when it was thought to be landing as a Category 5 hurricane. I think many people, including myself, were praying for this hurricane to lose power, and it certainly did. Obviously, there are still deaths and devastation, but nothing like the scale of what it would have been if Hurricane Milton had landed as a Category 5. So, very happy about that. I'll be sharing something about that later. And of course, Nancy was not in the line of fire, as it were, but thankfully didn't get flooded out again. I was very relieved about that. And also Dolly Howard, who of course appears on a lot of the Cosmic Reality shows, was in the path on the eastern coastline or eastern part of Florida. And thankfully they didn't suffer too much in the storm, other than some loss of power. So we've been getting regular updates from Dolly on that. So I'm very happy for Dolly too. So I'm going to dive in now to what's going on with the Kamala Harris campaign and, of course, Tim Tampon Walz, which is some very interesting information coming out, which is not helping their campaign whatsoever. I'm going to start with something that's related to the Hurricane Helene disaster as well. And it's absolutely, literally diabolical what the Biden administration has been doing. And in particular, in this case, Kamala Harris. This is Gateway Pundit's report, which was published yesterday. Pure evil. Volunteers allege Kamala Harris camp ordered North Carolina National Guard to load life-saving supplies on plane for photo op with the intent of never sending the aid. And this was reported on a video by aerial recovery members Charlie Keebor and Jonathan Howard, who joined former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan on his podcast on Thursday. Kamala Harris committed heinous act during the Hurricane Helene recovery efforts that combined the worst elements of narcissism and evil, according to members of a highly respected rescue organization. The Gateway Pundit has extensively reported on the Harris-Biden regime's deliberate neglect of the hundreds of Hurricane Helene victims. They are not only cruelly refusing aid to these primarily rural voters, who mostly oppose the regime, but are also doling out billions of dollars to illegal aliens straight from FEMA's budget. Adding insult to injury, the Harris-Biden regime is offering families who lost everything in the historic flood a measly $750 check while the illegals cash in. The ultimate example of putting America last. They are also demanding Congress pony up billions to FEMA and seeking to make them the scapegoat if they fail to come through. But their callousness seemingly goes even deeper. volunteers Jonathan Howard and Charlie Keeble, members of the non-profit group Aerial Recovery, joined former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan on his podcast Thursday to detail their experiences with hurricane relief and what they witnessed while on the scene. Aerial Recovery has been active in North Carolina following Hurricane Helene. According to its website, Aerial Recovery trains and deploys humanitarian special operators to respond to natural and man-made disasters and combat sex trafficking. It is made up of veterans and first responders. During the second half of the interview, Howard stated that sources told him that Harris ordered the North Carolina National Guard to load a C-17 full of supplies just so she could have a photo op. More infuriatingly, she did this knowing full well the life-saving supplies would never reach the victims. Ryan could not believe what he was hearing and asked him to repeat the allegation, which Howard did. Howard, from that video, I started getting a lot of messages from actual aircraft commanders, like squadron commanders. I had a squadron commander from North Carolina reach out to me. They had to load a C-17 full of supplies just to take a photo op for Kamala. And they never sent the bird, which she means plane. They loaded an entire C-17 full of supplies for the hurricane victims just for Kamala to go there. That was a North Carolina National Guard Unit 06 that reached out to me. They did a photo op with the intention of never sending aid. It was just a photo op. I have to say, this is indicative of the response to the whole Hurricane Helene situation, and of course the FEMA response as well. Now on to more news about actual campaign appearances, which have been up to date, a complete disaster. This is Gateway Pundit, published on October 9th. Election interference, fake news, 60 Minutes caught editing Kamala's nonsensical answer with previous soundbite to make her sound coherent and normal. This is the definition of election interference. Apparently, Kamala's interview with 60 Minutes was much worse than we first thought. Fake news, 60 Minutes was caught editing Kamala's answers to make her sound coherent and normal. In fact, it was so bad that 60 Minutes spliced her nonsensical answer and replaced it with a completely separate sentence she said earlier in the interview. CBS cut Kamala's nonsense answer on Israel and replaced it with a completely separate sentence she said earlier in the interview. Mixing and matching questions and answers. This isn't journalism, it's fraud. Here is the original 60 Minutes exchange. Bill Whitaker. But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening. Kamala Harris. Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region. And here is 60 Minutes edited exchange. Bill Whitaker, but it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening. Kamala Harris. We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end. Well, that confirms it. You can never trust 60 Minutes again to give you not only unbiased news, but unedited clips from an interview. Democrats are running a buffoon who can't even complete a sentence. Think about that for a minute. You really can't trust a single thing they tell you. This is not the first time 60 Minutes cheated and lied to their audience to interfere in an election. In 2017, 60 Minutes host Leslie Stahl lectured President Trump and told her audience that Barack Obama never spied on his campaign. She knew it wasn't true, but lectured President Trump anyway. She has yet to apologize to Americans for her horrible lie. In response to this, Slate News reports Trump demands full Kamala Harris 60 Minutes interview released after CBS caught deceptively editing footage. President Donald Trump has responded after it emerged that CBS News had deceptively edited the footage from Kamala Harris's 60 Minutes interview to benefit the Democrat presidential nominee. Trump is demanding that CBS release the full unedited interview footage to show the American people why the network had to run damage control for Harris. It comes after a significant discrepancy was discovered that appears to show that the interview was deceptively altered to benefit Harris. CBS News released two different clips showing Harris responding differently to Whitaker's remark. The original response was in a promotional clip, and then on Monday night, the full 60 Minutes interview was published by the network. However, the original statement from Harris was nowhere to be found anywhere in the interview. The Trump campaign responded to the discrepancy. Caroline Leavitt, Trump's national press secretary, blasted the network for deceptively editing Harris's answer to lessen Kamala's idiotic response. Why did 60 Minutes choose not to air Kamala's full word salad, and what else did they choose not to air? Asked Leavitt in a Tuesday night statement. The American people deserve the full unedited transcript from Kamala's sit-down interview. We call upon 60 Minutes and CBS to release it. What do they and Kamala have to hide? A closer look at Harris's remarks and the state of the 2024 presidential race indicates that the edit was intended to do more than just lessen Kamala's idiotic response. In Harris's initial response, she said that the Biden-Harris administration's work and advocacy led to a lot of what Israel has done in the region. Harris's response came within the context of Whitaker talking about Netanyahu taking the fight to Hezbollah despite objections from the administration. His insistence was on eradicating Hamas from Gaza so the terrorist group could not carry out another October 7-like attack in the future. Harris's answer is politically problematic for her as she tries to pick up key swing states. The Democrat nominee needs to win key swing states if she is to beat Trump in next month's election. One of the states that Harris needs to win is Michigan. Michigan has a large Islamic population that has been angered over Israel's war against Hamas. Many Muslim Democrats in the state are refusing to vote for Harris in the election to protest support for Israel. Representative Alyssa Slotkin, Democrat Michigan, warned donors last week that internal polling from her Senate campaign shows that Harris is underwater and trailing Trump in the state, Axios reported. The New York Times reported on Monday, the first anniversary of October 7th, that Israel's war against Islamic terror groups in the Middle East was threatening the Democratic coalition in the United States. The report states, nowhere are those tensions more politically important than in Michigan, a crucial battleground state with a significant population of Arab American and Muslim voters. 4 years ago, President Biden won Michigan with a strong backing from many of those Americans. But interviews this weekend with voters, activists, and community leaders in the Detroit area suggested that support for the Democratic ticket has not merely eroded among Arab Americans and Muslims. In some neighborhoods, it has all but vanished. Harris has responded to her eroding support among Muslims by meeting with Arab leaders in Michigan. It comes as a growing number of Jews in the United States say they feel threatened by anti-Semitic violence and the political left's embrace of pro-Hamas protesters. Harris's answer on 60 Minutes threatened to inflame tensions among the Islamic community, however. Many Muslim voters would likely view Harris's statement as an admission that the administration supports all or most of Israel's actions. The response ultimately aired is effectively the opposite of what she originally stated. We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end, Harris said in the answer. That answer would appease the Islamic community, which has largely sought an end to Israel's military since October 8, 2023. The 60 Minutes deceptive edits were originally exposed in a viral post on X. And Obama's attempt to bolster Kamala's support didn't help either. This is Just the News reporting. Obama faces backlash after targeting black male voters for not showing more support for Harris. Support for Democratic candidates have been waning since Obama, with 95% of black male voters supporting him in 2008. The support for Obama dwindled to 87% in 2012, and Hillary Clinton saw support from 82% of black male voters in 2016. Biden received 80% of the black male vote in 2020. Former President Barack Obama experienced backlash on Thursday night for targeting black male voters during a stump speech in Pittsburgh, where he chastised the voting bloc for not showing more support for Vice President Kamala Harris. The former president claimed that black male voters were not showing the same support for Harris as they did for him when he was running for election, even though the vice president is also part of the black community, which of course she isn't. Support for Democratic candidates have been waning since Obama, where 95% of black male voters supported him in 2008. The lack of support appears to be more pronounced with the brothers, Obama said. You're coming up with all kinds of reasons and excuses. I've got a problem with that, because part of it makes me think, and I'm speaking to men directly, part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of having a woman as president, and you're coming up with other alternatives and other reasons for that. Former Ohio Democratic State Senator Nina Turner slammed the comments in an appearance on CNN on Thursday night. Why are black men being lectured to? Why are black men being belittled in ways that no other voting group are? Turner said. Now, a lot of love for former President Obama, but for him to single out black men is wrong. And some of the black men that I have talked to have their reasons why they want to vote a different way. And even if some of us may not like that, we have to respect it. Turner added that as a politician, the message should be for all voters and encouraging all eligible Americans to vote instead of focusing on race or gender. Actor Wendell Pierce also slammed the speech in a post on X late Thursday, claiming that it sent an awful message and that the Democratic Party should not be scapegoating black men. Black men aren't the problem. White men and white women are, Pierce wrote. Black men voting for Trump is insignificant. This accusatorial tone will make some black men stay home, which is worse. Black men are questioning our party to find out what their loyalty for decades earns them. That's good. That's healthy. Democrats have the record to stand on and should embrace the challenge. After touring this country specifically engaging black men, I will not let my party leaders speak condescending towards them, he added. Obama's speech comes after a survey from the NAACP and HIT Strategies last month found that a quarter of black male respondents under 50 said they would vote for former President Donald Trump in November instead of Harris, per Reuters. So things aren't working out too well for Kamala Harris. Top Dem strategist says he's scared to death over Kamala's failing campaign. This is the National Pulse. Veteran Democratic strategist James Carville is raising serious concerns regarding Vice President Kamala Harris's election prospects. During a recent appearance on MSNBC, Carville, known for his role in Bill Clinton's 1992 presidential campaign, stated he is scared to death as the November 5th election date approaches. Carville highlighted that the Harris campaign should not be complacent, pointing out that they have less time than they may believe. She doesn't have a month left, he said, emphasizing the urgency by noting that time is limited. He calculated that the campaign effectively has under 20 days to make a significant impact. The Democratic Party strategist added, I think she and the whole campaign need to be much more aggressive and much less passive than they are. Carville's concerns are not unwarranted. Recent polling data suggests the Harris campaign is struggling to win over young men, especially minorities in the critical battleground states of Arizona, Nevada, and Michigan. In Arizona and Nevada specifically, Harris is facing surging support for her opponent, President Donald J. Trump, among Latino men under the age of 50. Trump's margin among young Latinos is in the double digits in both states. Also concerning for Harris are mounting worries over turnout among young black men in Michigan. Low turnout in Detroit could doom Harris. When turnout in the city is above 50%, Democrats are, historically, a lock to win the state. I am worried about turnout in Detroit. I think it's real, said Jamal Simmons in a recent interview with Politico. The Detroit native and former communications director for Harris asked, do they have the machine to turn people out? There are concerns and they're not insignificant. And more bad news for Kamala. The RCP polling average gives Trump a landslide win. Again, this is the National Pulse. With less than 30 days until the 2024 presidential election, one major polling average suggests former President Donald J. Trump is on pace for an Electoral College landslide victory over Vice President Kamala Harris. According to the polling aggregates compiled by Real Clear Politics, Trump holds the edge in 5 of the 7 critical battleground states. The data, comprised of an average of publicly available presidential race polling in each state, shows Trump leading Harris in Georgia by 1.5%, Arizona by 1.4%, North Carolina by 0.6%, Michigan by 0.5%, and Pennsylvania by 0.2%. Harris, meanwhile, leads Trump in Nevada and Wisconsin by 1.1% and 0.6% respectively. I would say that I don't believe these polling figures because if you remember in 2016, Trump was polled to have a minuscule chance of winning. And I think Hillary Clinton was up at something like 95% likelihood of winning. Well, we know what happened then, don't we? And so I think the polls are being rigged as usual, especially when you think about the size of Trump's rallies. The last one in Butler was 100,000 attendees that was reported. And allegedly, Kamala Harris is paying people to be bussed to the minuscule rallies that she holds. So there's no organic support at all for her. Continuing on, the vice president has struggled to consolidate support among both young and working class voters. According to recent data released by the Teamsters Union, its members are breaking for Trump over Harris by a 2-to-1 ratio. In Pennsylvania, almost 50% of the state's male population has just a high school diploma or less, often indicative of a working class background. Another deciding factor in the 2024 presidential election is likely to be the Hispanic vote. Trump is making significant gains among this critical demographic, especially among Hispanic men. The 2020 census indicates that Hispanics make up about 30% of the population in both Arizona and Nevada. It doesn't help either that Tim Walz does an epic fail on an interview and has an alleged scandal rearing its head as well. So this is Red State. Walz crashes and burns during Strahan interview in epically bad fashion. This was published yesterday. As I said, I don't know what the Harris Waltz team thinks they're gaining by going to friendly outlets and then having train wreck interviews. They're not likely to pick up voters in such arenas, and indeed they may lose them when you have people realise how clueless and vacuous they are. Then too, what they're finding is even in some of these friendly environments, the interviewers are slipping in some good questions. Who would have thought that Kamala Harris would implode from a question on The View? But she did when she said she wouldn't do anything differently than Biden. She couldn't even come up with one thought, which tells you it's just about power and control. The mess that they've wrought on all of us will continue. On ABC News, Michael Strahan went there with Tim Walz, asking if they would do anything differently, and once again, Walz couldn't come up with an answer either. In a Trump War Room post on X, it quotes ABC, "Would you have done anything differently than Biden over the past 4 years? Walz, Kamala's values have not changed. ABC, so Biden has done everything right? Walz, yes." I had to have a little giggle there over that. Yeah, I'm thinking that's not going to help. Nothing about acknowledging all the mistakes or changing any of the bad policies that brought inflation or resulted in things like the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal and the deaths of 13 young service members. So much for turning the page or a new way forward. Strahan points out the obvious, although not too many in the MSM are pointing this out, that people hold Kamala responsible for the high prices, such as with groceries, and he said 74% have had to cut back on groceries. Walz said you go into the grocery store and see false information. So is he now blaming grocery stores for misinformation or what? He threw out price gouging again, which isn't the cause of the inflation. The bottom line is her vote helped to make inflation worse. There's no getting around that, and it means that she doesn't understand inflation, so she doesn't understand how to make it better. How bad are they? Walz's answer to why Harris hasn't done any of the things that she's talking about now while she's occupying office is, "But Trump." That's not an answer, he's just clueless. And again, Trump War Room on X. ABC, why hasn't Kamala done any of the things she says she's going to do during her 4 years in the White House? Walz, Trump had 4 years to do it if you're going to talk about that. Trump did do those things. Trump had a better economy pre-pandemic because of good policies, low regulation and tax cuts. He had 1.4% inflation. He had a much more secure border, all with having to deal with constantly hostile Democrats fighting him and trying to impeach him all the way. So what Walz is accidentally saying with this is that we should vote for Trump because he's just better. I love this clip where Strahan doesn't mince words, saying Walz has made statements that just aren't true, lying about his military background and his China experience. And again, an ex-post from Trump War Room. Tim Walz crashes Burns trying to explain why he lied about carrying weapons in war and being in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre. Minnesota is a top five state for business. Walz attributes his lying to an instance, but it isn't an instance. It's a constant pattern. And he even got caught lying again about paid family leave during his recent 60 Minutes interview. He got busted on that by a local KSIP reporter and the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. What can he say to reassure people? Again, Trump War Room on X, ABC. People say we can't trust him to even tell the truth about himself. What do you say to them? Walz, I know who I am. I know who I am, he says. Notice he doesn't even say, I'll try to stop lying or I'll be honest with the American people. No, speaking passionately isn't an excuse for lying either. That's just an offensive excuse, and he must think we're fools if he believes he can get away with that. Again, Trump War Room. Waltz. I said I befriended school shooters because I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Okay. Plus, what does his talking about being friends with school shooters have to do with veterans? He just continues to say weird things that make no sense. Making such weird comments or lying about your military background is not just about missing a date. People want to know that they can handle things or have good policies, but he and Harris can't even communicate that. He tries to explain his comments about wanting to get rid of the Electoral College. Talk about a word salad and once again tossing norms under the bus while claiming to be about saving democracy. Trump War Room. ABC. You said you think the Electoral College should be abolished. Waltz. Well, it's not the campaign's position. ABC. So that's something you and Kamala disagree on? Waltz. The campaign and my position is the campaign position. And a quote, it's not the campaign's position, he said. And the point I'm trying to make is that there's folks that feel every vote must count in every state. And I think some of the folks feel that's not the case. Our campaign does that. And the point I'm saying is I'm in 5 states in 2 days. We're out there making the case that the campaign's position is clear, that that's not their position. Their position and my position is to make sure that everybody understands their vote, no matter what state they're in, matters. So, is that something that you disagree on? Strahan asked. I've spoken about it in the past, and she's been very clear on this. And the campaign and my position is the campaign's position, Walsh said. My gosh, what the heck was that? Talk about a crash and burn. Read that again and see if that makes any sense at all to you, because I'm still not sure what he's saying. It's just rambling nonsense that makes me wonder if there's something wrong with them. And Donald Trump Jr. on X posts, Walsh would have been better off just calling himself a knucklehead again. Total incoherence, if you ask me. Certainly not an orator. And then the alleged scandal that seems to be showing its face. I'll precede it with a comment by Starseed Astrology. I've already said many times they're my favourite astrologers. Remember how I said and showed how Tim Walz activates Kamala Harris's key of defeat a whopping 7 times? Check the emerging viral story going around that identifies Walz as a child predator and pedophile. Here's a snippet from what I wrote back on September 30th. On the record, Tim Walz is explosively, incredibly bad as a partner for Kamala Harris. I see the image in my mind of Kamala as a ship and Tim Walz crashing through it like a heavy anchor from the sky to sink her entire ship. And in the X post is a screenshot of post and reply. The post is from Tim Walz. All Donald Trump and J.D. Vance know about manufacturing is how to manufacture bullshit. And Black Insurrectionist responds, okay, Tim, I guess now would be a good time to drop my October surprise. You remember him, right? The real reason you walked away from teaching? The kid who spent the night at your home? The one you went to the gay bar with? The reason the school board had a meeting about you? What do you think, Tim? Should I drop that now or should I wait another week or so? You know, the student you are having sex with, the male student you are having sex with. They didn't call you Touchdown Timmy because you were the football coach. Oh, wait, you lied about that also. You were the assistant coach. What do you think, Tim? You remember the Indigo Girls concert, right? The gay bar, spending the night, and of course a school board meeting. Think it is time, Tim? Touchdown Timmy. You were touchy, all right. So, as I've said, this is allegedly, so we haven't had any receipts for this particular allegation. So we'll have to wait and see, but it is definitely not helping the Harris-Walz campaign, one iota. Now on to an update about the hurricanes. I'm going to start with Hurricane Milton in Florida, and this is before the hurricane landed. DeSantis says FEMA not leading hurricane relief. I'm the sheriff in charge here. This was said on Wednesday, and DeSantis is really regarded as a hero in Florida and probably in many other states as well because of his handling of the preparation for this hurricane. Governor Ron DeSantis made clear Wednesday who was the sheriff in charge of hurricane disaster relief in his state, and it's not FEMA. In an interview on Fox News' special report, host Brett Beyer asked the Florida governor about President Joe Biden and federal officials' comments regarding hurricane recovery resources and his thoughts on the allegations of misinformation being spread about FEMA. Wondering what you feel about this focus on misinformation and the comments about it. I know you heard Jackie Heinrich's piece about the president saying it's unpatriotic, it's un-American. And he said former President Trump was behind that by a post to DeSantis. The Florida governor shared a blunt response about the politicizing of the recent hurricanes. So here's what I would say. My job is to manage this process and lead the state through. I'm using every lever at my disposal, including federal government resources. I have marshalled all the agencies in the state government and we're working like never before to supplement our local communities. I have got to get the job done, and that's what I'm focused on, DeSantis said. Now people have asked me, is FEMA going to do this? Let me be clear, in Florida, we run the show. FEMA is not running the show. We will utilize them to support some of the things we're doing, but you are not going to see FEMA running amok in Florida. I know that's been out there on the internet. That is not going to happen. I'm the sheriff that's in charge here, and we will make sure to protect you. Don't worry about it, he added. Social media users reacted to DeSantis's comments. What a boss, one social media user said. Now that's leadership, another person said. Beyer also asked DeSantis if Vice President Kamala Harris would ever get through to him on the phone. She thinks it should be about her. If I honestly thought that there was something to be gained, I would pick up the phone and call her, DeSantis said. The fact of the matter is she has no role in this process. She's not part of the chain of command. I'm working with President Biden and FEMA and our state and local partners, and we're getting the job done, he said, pushing back on the alleged dust-up that he was not returning her calls. Harris accused DeSantis earlier this week of politicizing the hurricane relief response by not calling her back, but the governor insisted she previously had no role in helping with his state's hurricane response. She has never been interested in any of the storms we have had in the state of Florida for the entire time as vice president. Now she's out there attacking me, he said. I don't have time for political games. We have a job to do. We have got people's lives on the line, and that is our sole focus. The Mail Online reported on the hurricane. Florida residents are told it's not over as deadly Hurricane Milton leaves millions without power. Monster storm Hurricane Milton left a path of destruction across Florida overnight, leaving several people dead and 3 million without power as it heads to the Atlantic. The first casualties were reported even before Milton made landfall as a Category 3 storm around 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, bringing catastrophic flooding, 120-mile-per-hour winds, and several twisters, some of which proved lethal. After making landfall, Milton began rumbling east, ripping up everything in its path before ripping apart the roof of Tropicana Field, the home of the Tampa Bay Rays baseball team in St. Petersburg. At least 117 tornado warnings were issued in communities across the state overnight and into this morning, with dozens reported to have materialized and wrought havoc. More than 3 million homes and businesses were without power Thursday morning in Florida. So that was the standard mainstream media response to this. And this is by Gazzatella.com. Milton is no accident. Another engineered storm, Nadine, set to strike Florida 7 days after. HAARP's next attack, FEMA's cover-up, and the globalist plan to destroy lies revealed. This was published on October 10th. Hurricane Milton is not just another catastrophic storm. It's the tip of the iceberg in a much darker, far-reaching agenda. The U.S. National Hurricane Center, NHC, might be issuing their usual warnings, but they're not telling you the whole story. What they're covering up is a highly organized, sinister operation, using weather as a weapon of mass control, and the impending storm Nadine is another pawn in this grand game of engineered destruction. Hurricane Milton is no act of nature. This hurricane was meticulously created through advanced geoengineering techniques perfected over decades by the elites. HAARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, along with secret government facilities hidden across the globe, have been manipulating weather patterns, and now they've dialed it up. Using electromagnetic pulses and ionospheric tampering, they've escalated what should have been a tropical depression into a deadly Category 5 monster. The media says Milton evolved in just 3 days. This rapid intensification isn't some freak of nature. It's the result of calculated meddling designed to strike fear and chaos into the heart of Florida. But Milton is only part of the equation. The real bombshell is what's happening behind the scenes with the brewing Nadine. Official reports claim it only has a 20% chance of becoming a tropical storm. Don't buy that for a second. The elites are deliberately underplaying its potential to keep the public complacent. The truth is, Nadine has already been primed to escalate into a full-force hurricane right after Milton tears through Florida, creating a 1-2 punch designed to cripple the state. This isn't just about destruction, this is about domination and control. Now look at the bigger picture. 7 days after Milton strikes, it's predicted that Nadine will hit almost the exact same areas in Florida. Let that sink in. The elites are planning to hammer this state with 2 massive storms, one right after the other. And if that weren't enough, this will mark the 3rd major hurricane in 3 weeks, counting Hurricane Helene, which already started the destruction. Florida, the symbol of political and economic resistance, is being systematically dismantled one hurricane at a time. The media didn't pay much attention to Helene. They swept it under the rug like it was a minor inconvenience. But it wasn't. Helene was the test, the warm-up round for what was to come. The damage it caused weakened crucial infrastructure, making the state more vulnerable. Then Milton followed, bringing unprecedented destruction. And now Nadine, calculated to strike 7 days after Milton, is set to deliver the final blow. This isn't just nature, it's a coordinated takedown. Why Florida? Ask yourself why this state of all places is being targeted. Florida is a symbol of resistance, politically, economically, and culturally. The elites have had it on their hit list for years. It's a state that has fought back against federal overreach, a state with a history of defying mandates and standing up for individual freedoms. The globalists can't allow a state like Florida to thrive. The timing of Milton and Nadine is no coincidence. This is a direct attack on a region they see as a threat to their grand plans of global control. And let's talk about the technology. HAARP is just the surface. What they aren't telling you is that there are black budget programs hidden deep within government contracts that have been weaponizing weather for decades. Satellite systems like the covert programs linked to SpaceX and DARPA are actively controlling these storms. The globalists have been building this network for years using satellite-based lasers and ionospheric heaters to manipulate not just hurricanes but the entire climate. The purpose? To create catastrophic events that lead to economic collapse and societal breakdown, leaving the people more reliant on government handouts and emergency protocols. This is all part of the Great Reset. The World Economic Forum, WEF, in collaboration with global elites and shadowy government organisations, has a master plan to dismantle the old world and rebuild a new one under their total control. Florida's economy is a key target, and these engineered hurricanes are part of their strategy to break the backbone of the region. But here's the proof right in front of your eyes. Residents of Florida have witnessed the sky turning a bizarre, unnatural shade of purple as these hurricanes approach. This is no accident. The purple sky is a direct result of the elites tampering with the atmosphere using electromagnetic energy to alter weather patterns. The charged particles interacting with the sky are clear evidence that HAARP and other hidden technologies are at work, manipulating the atmosphere to trigger these destructive storms. It's a signature of their tampering, an undeniable sign that these hurricanes are anything but natural. The post-hurricane rebuilding will be handed over to globalist corporations, and FEMA's slow, deliberate response will leave local governments crippled, creating a vacuum that the elites will fill with their own relief efforts. This isn't disaster relief, it's disaster capital. They've done it before. After Hurricane Katrina, they left New Orleans in ruins for months, deliberately holding back aid while their corporate cronies swooped in to profit off reconstruction. The same thing is about to happen in Florida. FEMA isn't there to help you, they're there to facilitate the takeover. They'll sit on untapped funds, they'll drag out response times, and they'll make sure the people are left with no choice but to turn to the elites for salvation. This is about total dependence, and it's coming whether you're ready or not. Now let's dive deeper into Nadine. They want you to believe that it's just a potential storm. Wrong. Nadine has already been engineered using electromagnetic weather modification to follow Milton's destruction. The storm is going to hit, and when it does, it'll be even more devastating than Milton. The purpose of this second storm is clear. They want to break Florida beyond repair. Milton will soften the state up. Nadine will finish the job. And let's not forget, the timing of these storms isn't arbitrary. They're strategically placed to coincide with crucial political and economic shifts happening in the country. This isn't just about weather, it's about timing and control. And who stands to gain? The same globalist cabal that's been quietly building its influence over every aspect of our lives. They're not just using weather to destroy Florida, they're doing it to seize control of crucial infrastructure. After the devastation, you'll see a push for smart cities, built under the guise of climate resilience. But don't be fooled, these smart cities are nothing more than surveillance states in disguise. Every move you make, every dollar you spend, every resource you use will be monitored, controlled, and rationed. This is their endgame, total control over the population. The government, FEMA, and the NHC aren't going to tell you the truth because they're in on it. They've been using geoengineering to create disasters for decades, and now with the technology perfected, they're rolling it out on a massive scale. Hurricanes are the perfect tool. They can be deployed anywhere, disguised as natural disasters, while the elites rake in the profits and consolidate power. This is the ultimate false flag operation. The truth is, we're being played. These hurricanes are weapons, plain and simple. Milton, Nadine, and whatever comes next, these storms are being used to reshape the world in the image of the global elite. Florida is the next battleground. And if we don't wake up to what's happening, it won't be long before the rest of the country is under siege. Geoengineering, weather manipulation, and the Great Reset are not theories. They're the reality we're living in, and Hurricane Milton is proof that the elite's plans are in motion. Prepare now, because when Nadine hits, it'll be too late. This is about more than just surviving a storm. It's about surviving the globalist takeover. And make no mistake, they are coming for everything you have. Stay vigilant. The battle has already begun, and we are the targets. Now, I don't want you to read into this that it's fear porn, because, you know, what I always say is you need to know there's a problem in order to do something about it. And this is the first article I've read from this particular site, so I'm not that familiar with it. But what they're saying about the geoengineering and the creation of these very catastrophic hurricanes is absolutely true, and we've seen it proven with the satellite images and so on. But what I have to say is they're not going to win, because Florida isn't going to give in. As Nancy Hopkins said to me on the phone last night, you know, Florida is known as the free state. And because we know about this, and definitely the White Hats know about this, they're going to be taking countermeasures. And a lot of people on X were talking about prayers before Milton hit Florida. And, you know, I prayed for Florida and for North Carolina and Tennessee and the other states affected by Helene. And it was interesting that Hurricane Milton's power diminished significantly, and people were saying it's the power of God, you know. Obviously nature is powerful, but when we all get together, our prayers and our collective consciousness actually provide the antidote to this evil agenda, and we must continue to do that. I'll quickly touch on the disaster area following Hurricane Helene. Obviously, I covered it very extensively in my last show, but just a couple of quick mentions. During the week, there was a black unmarked helicopter that flew over one of the relief centers and basically destroyed a tent and was blowing the supplies all over the place. There are several theories about who that was. Some of the news has come out about it, but there's nothing really final about that. The Helene death toll is nothing like what the mainstream media are reporting. It's in the thousands, and there are bodies still not recovered. People are saying that the smell of death is just awful. And of course, we know that FEMA has been interfering with the distribution of the relief materials. I saw one X post earlier that was saying that the relief workers, the volunteers, had been ordered out, and they were having to destroy fridges with insulin and breast milk in it. I mean, what is being done by the authorities, whether FEMA or National Guard or whatever, it's very suspicious and very worrying that these interventions should prevent the rescue and the restoration of these areas. It's literally diabolical. But what it does show is how well the people themselves work together and say, we don't need you, FEMA, just like DeSantis was saying. They've stepped up to the mark absolutely, unbelievably well, and are working together as a community, which is exactly the way people should work together and not rely on the government, who are usually pretty damn useless. And to finish, just for the benefit of my UK listeners, I'd just like to do a recap of the first 100 days of disastrous Keir Starmer and Labour. And this is an ex post by Alex Armstrong. It's a thread, actually. 100 days of Keir Starmer and Labour as told in memes that triggered the hard left. Number one, Leeds burns while Keir clocked off at 6 p.m. as he said he would. He's nowhere to be found. He also doesn't take to the podium the next day to call out the far-right voters. Two, two-tier Keir adding fuel to the riots as he gets on TV and brands everyone far-right and racist. Three, two-tier Keir burns the Magna Carta as he locks up people for hurty words. Four, Rachel Thieves cuts winter fuel allowance from vulnerable and elderly pensioners, leaving them to freeze this winter. Five, Reeves and Starmer ride up inflation on their taxpayer-funded spending spree. Six, Rayner scraps a Tory bill to prioritise British citizens for council housing, as well as banning convicted terrorists from receiving council homes. Seven, Keir gives in to his union pay bosses, who donated millions to Labour, and gives them an inflation-busting pay rise. Eight, Ed Miliband flies all the way to South America for a net zero conference that could have been done on Zoom. Nine, reports announce that since Keir became party leader, they had lost over 150,000 comrades. I think that's supporters. Ten, no beer Keir gets revenge for being publicly humiliated when he was kicked out of a pub during COVID by announcing plans to ban smoking in public gardens. 11. Keir announces thousands of criminals would be released early because prisons are full. He could have deported foreign criminals. Many criminals went on to reoffend almost immediately. 12. Free gear Keir gets exposed for taking thousands of pounds of clothes for himself and Victoria Sponge despite being millionaires. 13. Fair dues, free corporate box at Arsenal worth thousands, despite all other PMs happily sitting with the crowds. 14. Keir Starmer wants to free the sausages. That was when he should have said free the hostages. 15. Super pay Sue Gray demands and is awarded a bigger salary than the Prime Minister. She was told she'd be on the front pages if she did, but didn't care. 16. David Lammy surrenders British Chagos Islands to Mauritius, a close ally of China. In a final embarrassing act, the UK also agrees to pay Mauritius for the privilege of it. 17. Sue Gray is sacked. She continues to cause chaos in Downing Street by demanding an outrageous severance package and new salary for her role that doesn't do anything. 18. Ed Miliband, Secretary of State for Net Zero, includes North Korea and the Taliban as potential countries to import fuel from. Bonus. Elon Musk howls at two-tier Keir, who has become a global laughingstock. And that was a meme on X. So Keir Starmer and his cabinet are hated by the British people. And it's reported that Farage has become the most popular of the political leaders. So that's good news for me as a Reform supporter, because Farage is leader of the Reform Party and is calling out the politicians in Parliament with his fellow MPs. So we're all hoping that Starmer resigns, is pushed out, and that a general election is called, so we won't have to put up with 5 years of this utter bullshit and country-destroying policies. So that's what's going on in the UK. So that's all I have time for. I'd like to thank you for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. Things are going to come right when Donald Trump is re-elected on November the 5th. I've no doubt that he is going to be in the White House again. So keep the faith, and he will have an impact globally, I'm sure of it. Thank you to Nancy for producing, and a quick reminder, you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. So until next time, stay well, be safe, vote MAGA in the US presidential election, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.